Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
For KER Politics, got a really great show for you this week. We're going to start out the second half of the program chatting with John Reed. John was an anchor on Fox News. He was also, interestingly enough, on CBC. UCLA Film School grad, spent a lot of his time in California, so we will be getting his insights as to what's going on in California. John currently has just released a nonfiction book. It's a mystery. It's entitled Death in the Reeds. Main character is Mickey Judd. Prior to that, he wrote three nonfiction books, which were also published. One is called Hating America, the New World Sport, which he wrote while he was at Fox. The second one was entitled How the Left Swift Boarded America. And then the final one is entitled The War on Christmas. Tell us about your new fiction series, will you, John?
Sure. Thanks, Al. Thanks for having me on. So there's two of them that are Mickey Judge mysteries. One's called O.J.'s Knife, which we know that knife, in fact, was never really found. But in my fiction book, O.J.'s Knife by John Gibson, the two guys find the knife, and then an adventure ensues. The new one is called Death in the Reeds, and it's about an antiquity that, in fact, was stolen from the Iraq Museum at the start of the Iraq War. And in this story of fiction, once again, we follow the guy who stole it and then see what happens to him. And then we follow the object itself as it heads to San Francisco, where one of Mickey Judge's friends is trying to sell it to a Silicon Valley billionaire. And so the story unfolds in San Francisco about this stolen antiquity. And I can't give away the end. I can just tell you that Death in the Reeds is an exciting read, and it's available on Amazon.com. I just want to read you this. I just got this from a review of O.J.'s Knife, and the reviewer said, a riveting read from cover to cover. It's all the more impressive when you consider it is Gibson's debut as a novelist. So I got an endorsement from the Midwest Review of Books, and I urge you to go to Amazon.com and get Death in the Reeds by John Gibson.
John, that's really, you know, it's really an honor to have you on. You've had a lot of experience in, multiple major news organizations, MSNBC, as one of the daytime anchors there, covering, I understand, the Clinton Lewinsky scandals in the early 90s. What was it like being there doing that type of thing?
Well, you know, in the early days of MSNBC, and the same held true for Fox, anytime there was a hot story, we glommed onto it and didn't give up until the ratings just crashed. I used to say we always went one day too long. And, for instance, we were doing Princess Diana coverage a year after her death at MSNBC. Wow. And the Clinton Lewinsky scandal was obviously, you know, a big breaking news story. So that went on for, the length of that story. And we were doing it every day, every hour. In fact, I used to have to do Keith Olbermann's show because he objected to the story and would sit at home in his bathtub smoking a cigar, arguing with the producers about whether or not he was going to come in. And, I would be checking in with the boss every, like, hour saying, is he coming? Is he coming? Is he coming? And if he wasn't, I had to do his show, which led me to call him Bathtub Boy. And we got into a big feud that has lasted to this day, as a matter of fact. The early days of MSNBC and Fox were both the same thing, as struggling to gain an audience, absolutely struggling. When I started at Fox, I started the 5 o'clock show. They told me if you could get a 500,000 viewers, it's a hit show. 500,000 would be stunning. By the time I left, I was doing 1 million. By comparison, that same hour, the five right now, does almost 3 million every day. So yeah. There's been an exponential growth in cable news viewing since I was in it.
You know, what's very interesting to me is, you know, you talk about the push with anchors and journalists and research teams, right? You're back, the people in the back rooms that are, you know, kind of digging this stuff up, and the reporters and the, you know, out there on the street trying to get information. And it's very strange today that you have very selective efforts by major corporate media to target specific events or say, let's say the Mar-a-Lago raid. But then they completely ignore, say, the Hunter Biden story. Why do you think that is?
The three networks had to choose a lane to be in, and Fox created this dynamic by saying overtly, we're conservative. What MSNBC, when it launched, and it launched ahead of Fox. So it was just CNN and MSNBC for a few months. And MSNBC said, we're going to do the news. We're going to be right down the middle. If we get into a partisan fight, your job, John, is to beat up both sides equally.
Yeah.
And they, as Fox came on and took the conservative lane, they realized that wasn't going to work. And so both CNN and MSNBC gravitated towards their natural political position, which was a liberal position. And so here we are today. What has happened is Fox is still conservative, although a lot of people think it's gone too far to the center. CNN has suddenly decided, with the recent acquisition, change of ownership, we're going to just do news. All that opinion stuff from Jake Tapper and Don Lemon, that's gone. You're not going to hear that anymore. And MSNBC has decided the far left is their lane, the very progressive far left.
Kind of the nut jobs.
Yeah, well, what Roger Ailes used to refer to as out where the buses don't run.
Yeah.
And you know, and apparently MSNBC is fairly successful at this. I you know, sort of follow the ratings, but they have a big audience of young progressives, old line liberals, African Americans, and they take a far left line unabashedly. I mean, I think they've become basically a racist station, but that's their lane. Fox has chosen a kind of a wider lane of conservatives and sort of centrists, and, you know, and some Trump people who aren't mad at Fox. I think there are probably a few Trump people who are not mad at Fox, but a lot of them are.
Yeah.
And so what really has happened, and I think Fox made this happen. Roger Ailes made this happen. He made media come out of the closet. So you've been hiding in there, pretending you're objective and right down the middle. We know you're liberals. We're going to be conservative, and sure enough, the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC...
Got less than a minute, you guys.
Burst out of the closet and said, we're liberals, and we're going to fly our freak flag. And that's where we are today.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic that we see out there in the media. And it's interesting to see with the internet and the pressure on, you know, click, how many clicks and how you measure, you know, resources and... It's a very difficult and challenging environment for getting the word out in sort of a just, you know, news and having what you had talked about, people really digging deep and pushing both sides. We don't see that much anymore.
You don't see that much anymore. Jimmy, you got to take a real quick commercial break here. I'm really interested in talking in the next segment with you, John, about specifically your views about what's going on in California. You spent a fair amount of your journalistic career in California. You've got some very interesting opinions. Big Al certainly wants to hear what you're going to be talking about. Be right back, you guys.